Thank you very much, Len, and good morning, everyone. I will be talking today about some work we've done in Liberia, where we fielded a population-based study to better understand use of health services, availability of those services, and population preferences for healthcare in a country just emerging from, or at that time, relatively recently emerging from conflict. This is our research team, and I think one thing that I do want to emphasize is that as much as possible, particularly in post-conflict settings, but really throughout sub-Saharan Africa, our team is very interested in working with policymakers integrally, and we really involve them in some of the research question setting, obviously the logistics of data collection, with the intent that hopefully both the questions are informed by policy needs, but also then the research results can be fed back readily to policymakers. So we have on this list the Deputy Minister for Policy and Planning, Mr. Varpala, as well as some senior folks in the Ministry of Health. I think I need to show this slide that shows I have no financial relationships or commercial interests relevant to this publication. Okay, so let me start with an introduction. Oops, I think I'm working backwards. Let's try this again. A little bit about Liberia, for those of you who are not familiar with it. It is a republic founded by freed slaves from the U.S. in 1822. Its current population is about 3.5 million. And in 2003, Liberia finally emerged from 14 years of civil conflict. There were actually two wars separated by a brief peace, but essentially the population has been affected by war for nearly two decades. The focus of the study was in red here, Nimba County, which is the largest county. Liberia is divided into counties or states or province equivalents. This is the largest county in the country with a 500,000 population, which is predominantly rural. We chose Nimba because it was it's a typical rural part of Liberia. It's also remote from Monrovia, the capital, and access to services, health services, is fairly representative of some of the more remote parts of Tanzania. A little bit about health status. Malaria is endemic throughout the country. Under 5 mortality, I'm not going to read all of these off for you, but just to show you that these are very typical sub-Saharan African statistics, except for instance, the under 5 mortality and the maternal mortality. I should note the maternal mortality, although of course we all know that it has extremely wide confidence intervals, appears to have increased quite a bit from the year 2000. These data from the 2008 DHS. But critically, this is a country with 40% prevalence of major depression and 44% prevalence of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Again, these are estimated prevalence rates, and these are done using scales in population-based surveys rather than psychiatric diagnosis. Still, I think this is very sobering. One bright spot is HIV prevalence is 1.5%, which is obviously lower than many African countries. The recently elected government of President Johnson Sirleaf has put rebuilding the health system as one of its major development priorities, and for good reason. There were 30 Liberian doctors left in the entire country at the end of conflict, with many of the people who could leave the country and come to the U.S. or elsewhere doing just that. Health spending was about $21 per capita. 80% of this is from foreign assistance, and again, this is in 2008. The health services, because there are no health workers, and of course nurses are vitally important, we didn't have good nursing statistics at this time, but health services are largely managed by foreign non-governmental organizations. And the intent by the government is to really strengthen primary care and focus on rural areas where clinics are meant to provide the majority of essential health care. Healthcare utilization is very weak. We know that, for instance, the Demographic and Health Survey told us that 72% of rural women delivered their most recent child at home. 43% of rural women did not visit a health facility in the previous year for illness. And again, you see some other statistics showing that approximately 50 to 60% of children are getting the care they need when they become ill. A number of problems have been cited by the population in accessing needed health care, with distance and money, lack of money being among the top two, but also lack of drugs and, frankly, providers not being in place, as we already mentioned. So despite these challenges and to try to respond to the clear health needs, the government has laid out this very clear health policy, and this represents the basic package of essential services that Liberia guarantees its citizens. And again, I won't go through every item, just to say that the focus here is obviously on maternal and newborn health, child health, reproductive and adolescent health, including HIV. And you'll see down here on the bottom, there are just single lines for mental health and emergency care. And that actually describes just how well thought through those are. They're just literally placeholders, or were placeholders. There is a great deal of work going on to try to define what goes on in there. But anyone working in mental health will know that that's a contentious area for low-income countries, never mind post-conflict countries. In terms of defining the minimum package of services. So in our study, we wanted to describe the availability of essential health care in rural Liberia. Overall, what's it look like at a sort of bird's eye view, but also from the perspective of the average rural dweller. Where do they go for health care? What will they find when they go to the nearest nearest facility, nearest clinic? And then to compare availability across different services. In the interest of time, I'm happy to take questions on the methods, but this is a three-stage cluster survey in which we did our own. We were fortunate that we came on the heels of a 2008 census, national census, so we were able to use listings from that census to define our population frame. And we included every 18-year-old residing in the household for more than 6 months of the year in the selected households. And this is what it looked like. We had, again, Liberia's moving into the 21st century. It's incredible. They have GIS mapping of the county because of this recent census. And again, we were able to use that. We had several different components of data collection. We had a survey instrument with 12 interviewers working across three teams around this county. In addition, we sent interviewers to all the health facilities, we tried to get to all the health facilities, we didn't quite get there. We got 43 out of the 49 facilities where we asked a set of standardized questions about what's available in them. We also observed visually what's available in the facility. We also had a village data form that looked at what was available in the village. Okay, and here are the specific services that we looked at, and you might note that these are actually very much based on what was in that health policy, Liberia's health policy, in terms of what are the defined essential health services by the government. In addition to looking at what services are available, we also wanted to understand how capable is this facility to really deliver quality care, and we created a basic inputs variable that said, is this facility have at least one skilled health worker? Of course, you can imagine with 30 health workers, the rural facilities will not have a doctor ever. They will have nurses, if they're lucky, or a physician assistant. Electricity, water pumps, tooth stethoscopes, and a refrigerator. Okay, so here are some of the results. What we found was that this is just a summary statistics for our population that we interviewed, and a few things to note. One is that a very large proportion of the population has no schooling, 42%. All of schooling was essentially disrupted through the civil conflict. Ethnicity, there's a number of tribes that are represented. The vast majority of the population are farmers, and about 60% of them live within a two-hour walk of a facility. And here, I just want to focus on this one for a little bit. Here, this slide summarizes what is available at the nearest facility. Specifically, 67%, and the way to read these is, this is, again, referring to the average rural dweller in Nimba County. So the nearest type of facility, not surprisingly to most people, is a clinic, which is the most basic facility. For about two-thirds of people, that was the nearest facility. About 5.5 kilometers away was the mean, 7.2 kilometers away was the mean distance. The mean travel time was 136 minutes. And this is showing again what was available in the facility. There was a skilled provider in all facilities, and this is again due to a huge government and donor effort to try to redevelop the health system. Electricity was available in 70%, water pump in 73%, stethoscopes in 75%, etc. However, only 43% of facilities had all of those five basic inputs at the time of the survey. All right, and then I want to just point your attention to this section here, which shows what services were actually available. Not the inputs, but health services. And what we see is that treatment for malaria was available in 100% of the nearest clinics. Only 56% of clinics had HIV testing. 26% had emergency obstetric care to deal with complications of childbirth. 14% had integrated management of childhood illness, and 12% offered any kind of mental health care. And then this is something that we worked on to try to sort of show visually, now looking across the region, what was actually available. And I think this is probably some of the more powerful visuals. The visuals are always more powerful than tables. And what we see here is this is just basic health center input. So those stethoscopes, the nurse, et cetera. This shows you where they were scattered around the county. I should point out that this lower part of the county is a national park, and it's very sparsely populated. So there's actually very little population there and very few services. But the green are these health facilities with basic inputs, and gray are facilities without basic inputs, and white are the facilities we didn't get to visit for a variety of reasons. So let's look at, and I'm going to show you these in particular order, from the most available to the least available. This is showing availability of artemisinin combination therapies, which is the current gold standard treatment for malaria. And again, all the green show you where ACT was available in Nimba County. Now, have a look at HIV counseling and testing. So quite a bit less, but still relatively well scattered throughout the county. There is access to HIV counseling and testing at many of the clinics. Here is emergency obstetric care. And again, we just see a huge drop off, essentially, to this service. And then mental health care. And here is the integrated management of childhood illness. So you certainly hope your child does not have an illness that requires complex management, because the training and the infrastructure required to diagnose that are certainly not very available. So, I'm summarizing quite a bit of data in a very quick time, but let me just try to sort of tie this together. What we found in Nimba County in 2008, so that's 5 years after the cessation of hostilities in Liberia, was that about 60% of the population lived within a two-hour walk of facilities, health facilities, and that those facilities did have a trained health worker in them. Less than 50% of those same facilities, though, had all the basic inputs that we would consider required to do a reasonable job in terms of diagnosing and treating disease and providing preventive services. There are no facilities at all that offered all five of the index services, the emergency obstetric care, the mental health, et cetera. There's not a single facility in the county. We also found quite extensive variation in availability of facilities. Artemisinin and combination therapy was available in 100% of facilities, HIV in more than 50%, and then we, as you saw visually, we had a steep drop-off from there to emergency obstetric care, IMCI, and mental health care. And we were really struck by how disproportionate these access to these services was to the need for these services. I think you remember me mentioning that HIV was actually is not a, of course it's a concern for every country, and a prevalence of 1.5% is certainly not nothing. But what we see is that compared to the huge needs for maternal and child health and mental health care, for example, there's disproportionate access to HIV versus some of these other services. And we think there are two reasons for this, or two categories of reasons. The first is technical, and the second is political. And this is what we put in our paper. And the first set of reasons are that it's absolutely true that IMCI and emergency obstetric care are far more complex than HIV testing, which are kits and very standardized training regimen, and malaria treatment, which again are fixed dose combinations and very brief training. Mental health services have been poorly defined, and I think again require additional training and multiple components just not available in the system, including medication, which is not available. The political reasons, I think, are that the donor focus in Liberia has really driven health priorities. And in particular, again, and it's always a struggle to get precise donor figures. We want to show you some indicative figures that malaria and HIV are clearly donor priorities for both USAID and the Global Fund. For instance, in 2008, USAID spent $7 million on maternal and child health, and double that in HIV and malaria, as an example. We had a number of study limitations, including there were facilities we did not visit. We did not observe service provision. We weren't able to see what the quality of it was. And of course, it's very early going in terms of the health system development. This is just really a snapshot at a point in time. What are the implications? Liberia, coming from almost nothing, I should say most of these facilities have been newly built and redeveloped because most of them were destroyed or damaged during war. So they have made substantial progress in the health system, but much remains to be done. It's clear that service delivery is geared to easy fixes and popular diseases. Unfortunately, there seems to be this popularity ranking that's driving a lot of the investments. And clearly, better integration of services and coordination of donors is also needed to try to shore up the missing services. And we need to, therefore, monitor the effects of these actors on the development in Liberia, in Liberia's health system. So let me stop here. Thank you.
Yeah, what we're going to do is take no more than 5 minutes of questions now because we want to make sure everybody is gets their presentations. So if you have some questions, we have just a couple of minutes.
So we go back up there.
This is just a quick clarification. No facility has all five of the basic inputs. Can you remind us what those were?
Emergency obstetric care, integrated management of childhood illness, mental health services. Help me out, somebody. Malaria, artemisinin and combination therapy, and HIV counseling and testing, including the county hospital, wasn't offering mental health. So there were some mission-funded facilities that did offer that, but not the government hospital. Yes.
Did you look at other social determinants like tribal issues, mm-hmm. language issues, the fact that Windsor County was probably the seat of the revolution?
In terms of service availability, or just in general in the study? Sure. Very good question. This is a very interesting part of Liberia, as you just pointed out. It was the source of some of the conflict, actually, in the country. And we've noticed a number of very interesting associations, including very high, for instance, mental health, high health need, high incidence of unmet need in specific villages. We've actually published that specific villages along the Charles Taylor's path through the county. So we did notice some interesting things around that. This particular analysis was really about the supply side. So those factors didn't really feature in, but I agree, it's a very complex and interesting place.
One more question.
Do you have any information about how service availability compared pre-war and post-war? Mm.
That's a great question. I think many of these clinics, I don't have a perfect answer, many of these clinics had existed before the war, but were totally destroyed. Obviously, this kind of coherent list of services, I should also point out these services were free at the point of care. The government required big free service signs in all the clinics. So those are obviously new developments. And things like emergency obstetric care were just not available 14 years or 20 years ago. So I'm sure those were not even on the list. But I think the clinics map roughly onto where there were previous health services.